Hello, and I am Daryl War. Hoping you enjoyed that tagline on the end of the All Due Respect list for episode 9. Should have thought of it before, of course. And essentially, it's very true. I do all the character voices, mix the tracks, alter the sounds, and you may notice I am changing the pitch on the voices now, which means even more work, and unfortunately, there are times when Carolyn sounds like she's on helium. If you enjoyed that oldie but goodie, it is The Haunted House Blues by The Village Stompers. And I tell ya, I got them blues. It's true. I found the record at a small shop during an extremely bad week. They had record players to listen to the records, and I heard that song since I was curious. So it was worth the whole album just to have that song. And it is on iTunes now. It wasn't before when I bought it, so head on over and load on that one if you like it. But blues, yes, and not as Mark McKinney's Blues Man speaks. I have a very effective heckler in my audience blues. In fact, I'm wondering if I ever will get a heckler beyond my husband. Now, I think I need to explain in this intro where I'm coming from, because I know a lot of listeners are probably a little intimidated at some of what you've heard from me. So let's take a step into this as a psychological analysis of who's bringing this to you. I am very isolated, socially. I have also not had a good many things said about me throughout most of my life, and it took me up into writing episode 14 to allow Willie back into the fold and truly give his character a lot of thought and deep consideration. It was with him that I realized I had not only a lot in common with him, but a lot in common with all of the characters. So as I reached that point in making the story the best that I could, a lot of people in my life for various reasons moved far away, and the story just started to be almost everything to me. I had writer's block for 8 years, and finally found something I could take a strong hold of. And that's when I found the traffic graph on fanfiction.net. Whoops. I just presumed if no one was reviewing, no one was reading. No, I had a large audience, and had had their attention for 2 years. Now, that was in the Dark Shadows pile. I didn't know how to get it to the rest yet. I was looking, and still am looking, for kindred spirits who may prefer it to other stories, since that's why the bug bit me. I couldn't find any stories even close to it. And I have been told, over and over again, to find people, go online. Well, I have found a few, but not my fans, and mainly cold numbers. So that's why I'm doing this. Just looking for my people, and wanting to keep in touch with them. Also, when I've discussed this with people face to face, they get as miffed as I do sometimes. they can't explain why I'm not being contacted, or at least reviewed. Pen and paper pals, same thing. They don't understand it. Now, I am happy to report within my crossing into the other fandoms, they support each other a lot more. I had writers of Dark Shadows fanfiction telling me that this is just how fanfiction is. Well, I crossed the barriers with a multi-fandom and I found out, no, this is not the case. I've looked over newer fandoms and even the Addams Family, and those folks are talking to each other. Not always nicely, but they are talking. Ghost and Mrs. Muir fans? Same thing. In fact, I got two reviews. One bad, and one good, that I'd like to share. So, the first one came, I think, about a week or so after I'd gotten it to them. So, the Addams Family, 24 hours. Ghost and Mrs. Muir fans? Still a lot quicker than a year and a half. Or whatever. And so the guest says, I don't understand this fic at all. Not trying to be mean, I just don't. Carolyn was never involved with anyone named Tony. I don't even really know who Tony is, but I guess good luck in your writing. We all have a story to tell, sometimes more than one. And I felt so bad. I feel so bad for whoever this is, because I knew that Carolyn Stoddard and that Carolyn Muir, you know, they both had the same first name, but Mrs. Muir goes by Mrs. Muir most of the time in the old 60s TV show of The Ghost of Mrs. Muir. So I thought I had played it safe enough. So I felt really bad, but I was still grateful. I'm still very grateful. So I said, thanks for reviewing anyway. It makes more sense if you listen to the podcast version. It goes a lot slower with the voices mapped out as well as sound effects and music clips. Just review again and ask if you'd like to know how to download that. It's like a radio play, but with intros and all the details, and it's free. I knew the problem would come up because Carolyn Stoddard and Carolyn Muir from two different programs had the same name, which Miss Stoddard points out, which is why Carolyn Muir asks the two to call her Mrs. Muir, as so many others do. But you certainly hit the nail on the head when you said we all have a story to tell, sometimes more than one. This definitely is more than one. It's been a struggle. It's a little like crossover, except so many spooky worlds are along for the ride. I tried to stick with the 1960s spooky shows as it seemed more appropriate overall. Thanks for speaking up, though. I appreciate that. It's nice to know something that's going through the mind of a reader. Many of us never find out. And we don't. We just get a lot of numbers and we're just like, well, did you like it? Or did anything happen? You know, when you read it, did you have any, you know, personal responses, that kind of thing? You know, when once upon a time people did book reviews in print, and they still do, I'm sure, but that kind of thing. And then, of course, there is the wonderful one that I love. I'm not sure if I should say the name of this person because I contacted her and she didn't get back to me. So I'm thinking maybe she doesn't want that kind of contact and maybe she doesn't want to be known. But I loved this one. Just a few days after the bummer one. Each reviewer has a right to his or her own opinion. I'd like to add mine. Sounds kind of bad when it starts, but it gets better. None of us writing fan fiction own the characters or the original storylines. We should stop criticizing others whose views differ from those of middle-aged women. I'm 55. Our stories predominate these sites. Fan fiction is ever-evolving. I welcome this story as fresh air. Oh, my gosh. And I've tried to tell her, oh, it gets me through some days. This is so hard. Oh, I love that one. I just love it. I'm about to get misty here. Okay. Back to our intro. So, with that, you see what we have here. It's a Dark Shadows fan fiction problem. Other Dark Shadows writers just keep telling me, well, don't expect instant reaction. And I'm like, excuse me? Did you see the date on this thing? February 14th, 2012. This bloodsucker is over 2 years old on this site and far older elsewhere. So my new listeners are hearing a rather embittered creator for those very good reasons. Plus, for a while, I get all this stuff like I'm only writing it and well, you've heard all my vocal impressions, and even when my coworkers heard them, they asked me who did all the voices.
me.
So not getting communication on a system that was created for that purpose is basically throwing my heart into this black vortex, just sucking it up. I go on. I don't digress, but I go on. So I apologize, but you're not catching me at my best. And then the writers go on about the numbers. If I had 5 solid fans to this, I'd be very content. I seriously, just to have the relationships, that's what I'm doing it for. Plus, all this stuff about the numbers don't lie. Well, I have no idea what some of the numbers even are. Plus, my spouse is a statistical analyzer. He does a ton of sports statistics, among other things, and he can't even tell me what's up with some of these numbers for the podcast either. So, there you go. The numbers? Well, I don't think they tell the truth. Anyway, hopefully that explains all my weirdness. And I've been hunting for friendships right and left, so it's not like I'm not trying. I'd love to get this in more tactile form on compact disc or even cassette, dare I say it. Got a P.O. box, collecting dust, like Dr. Hoffman's office. So I think the problem is Dark Shadows fan fiction readers like trash for the most part, at least right now, in this day and age, whatever. Secrets by Magical Irish Dolphin still has only my review. Just to let you know, when I do the plugs for other work, the other writers want the same thing. They really do. They want reviews, they want a thank you, or I enjoy this, and quite a few want their people. They want to share the enjoyment with you. They really do. Especially the Dark Shadows fan fiction writers. I mean, they're just getting so hosed a lot of the time. But I know about the trash fiction, because I wrote some of my own. A little joke idea I had with another writer. I was waiting for someone to get offended, actually, but no. They don't say anything. So, there you are. Boy, the numbers flew on that thing. I have no idea if I'll do much more of it, but it was an eye-opener. Easy to write, and very brief. So I think what I'm looking for are fans who gave up on Dark Shadows fanfiction, and for all the other fandoms, I want you to know about this because I don't want to disappoint you guys. Especially, I think, if no one else, you all could really pull me through this project. And then, of course, we have people in the fullness who enjoy all of the characters I'm using. Really, if you like this, I'd be happy to hear just about your day. If this is pulling you through that day. I know some listeners who enjoy podcasts take long, boring drives. Let's say you pull into a diner, and maybe it's dingy, and no fine Maggie Evans comes to bring you a strong cup of coffee. Well, if you have a device of some kind, you can drop me a note, and, you know, wherever you can, email the review section of fanfiction.net if you want total anonymity. You know, it's all been said before. Just say hello. Or, wow, this commute's been a doozy. Or, I'm blasting that tune you added because the kids keep screaming at me. Whatever. I'm happy to hear anything from you at all. You don't have to be a critical analyzer of the story or anything. You just say, oh my gosh, this made me laugh so much. Or, you could just say, it's getting me through it, you know. I just want to know you're human, you're out there, it's good, you know. Because I want to keep going. Then I'll go on about that a little later. So now I've got the Facebook page for my name, Daryl War. I'm adding links for reviews to one site I post the podcast on, and there is the text in whatever fandom you prefer on fanfiction.net. There's my email address, and there is John Mountain's blog, which he also likes to get commentary, by the way. He is not doing this just, you know, presumably, just... Nah. He's very dedicated to horror. He likes to do movie reviews. He likes to get feedback, and a lot of people do. I mean, I've heard from my in-laws about a lot of people doing stuff online who give up because they're just not getting it. And of course, you know, at the end of their projects, they throw their hands up pretty much in despair and they wonder why they even spent so long doing what they're doing. And then when they are about to give up, that's when all these people come out of the woodwork. There was a lady who had a craft blog for a number of years and she just wasn't getting the feedback that it was important to anyone. So she was going to give up. And then all these people came out of the woodwork and it was just too little too late, guys. You know, it just, that's the thing. I mean, that's what this technology is here for us to do, to talk to each other, not just to grab things. And I hope that that makes an impression on you because it's very important to me. And I have been thinking about taking this to YouTube. It seems like people are more vocal there, but maybe a little too vocal. And I'm not sure if it's a safe place yet. So we'll see about that. And a ton of technical stuff. I have rarely had any help with this podcast. But when I did, boy, did I blow some serious verbal kisses in their direction. I started to wonder, well, okay, maybe I'm not thanking my helpers enough. Maybe it's a karmic thing. Maybe I'm not doing enough. And just went reviewing high stars a go-go. So, looks like I can solve a lot in Collinsport, but in my life... Now, someone recently found my podcast a while back. One, Barry Dodd. He got through about 3 of the episodes, found me on Facebook, and had wonderful things to say. Posted the podcast on a Dark Shadows webpage there, and I was so grateful. It's now March 2014, and for 6 months, I have not slept well trying to get this thing done. And I got 7.5 hours sleep that night. So again, the support helps. It really does, more than you know. Now, that starts our plug section. We've got Barry Dodd's project, a video series called Ragged Isle, inspired by Dark Shadows and set in Maine. You can view that at raggedisle.com. He would also enjoy feedback on that. In fact, I need to give him more. It's very good, and both spooky, creepy, as well as having some relaxing elements in the way the ocean is filmed at times, and the landscape. The music's quite good, too. And there is a turn at the end of that first episode that got me. So that's a series as well. And again, artists, helping artists, which is good, but we really need our fans doing that more. We really need that because that's, you know, it's a people thing. We need, it kind of takes even more out of us to do more support for each other sometimes, a lot of the time actually. And the only thing that those reviews tend to do is just feed us more numbers, which is not quite the point. Next up is another of Magical Irish Dolphin's work, The Music Box. I finished that. I was pressed to read all of these Dark Shadow stories and wanted to do my bit, but watching Willie get even more whipped just... After all I did for that man and all I planned to do, I ran, metaphorically, back to the music box. And of course, we have some lovely Josette scenes. At the last, I was on the telephone with my mom and told her about this one scene, and she said, "Yeah, that is good." So the story of the music box, it's yet another Maggie gets kidnapped and how Maggie and Willie deal with that. And so she alters some stuff there. So that's another thing that I like about Magical Irish Dolphin. She says when this is happening. It's not just a free-for-all where we don't know the time period, we don't know what's happening. It's just a go-go, let's just throw all these characters in and around. It is during the Maggie kidnapping and what her and Willie have to go through to just deal with it, and these other things happen. And Josette, the ghost of Josette steps in. This is another reason that I have to do more research on my story, because yes, the ghost of Josette wanders around, and obviously I have a reincarnation thing set up, so I'm gonna deal with that. But anyway, back to the music box. So Josette's ghost steps in to try and help Willie and Maggie with that. And of course, Magical Irish Dolphin likes Willie-Maggie pairings, as a lot of people do. So it goes into some romance between them and how they have to deal with it and how to sort of solve the problem, as well as being part of other stories that she's written, but I will probably go into that later. I'm not sure if I'm going to read the next story in her series that's related. It's just that I know she's in that realm. So remember, review that one. She likes reviews and she has pairings that she prefers. So a few fans of her work would be appreciated. All right, so the next plug I have, a little bit tender here because we didn't, she probably didn't notice that we didn't get on so well at first. She did some reviews for the M-rated material that I have that I think I'm going to redux and actually try to publish because I have never written, I think, anything so good in my entire life. And I usually don't write anything in the adult realm, but that's because I don't like a lot of adult material. So when I started writing some, I had to get around certain shynesses, and I did it in this non-vulgar way. So that's why I think that it's so good that I could probably publish it. And I've been told by another reader of a great deal of adult material that she'd never read anything like it. So anyway, more of that anon. Anyway, it's Mad Margaret. And she told me recently that she had not gotten into the fanfiction world until 2012, which would be also be, you know, my thing, even though I wrote some Sailor Moon crap. Well, not crap, but I mean, it was pretty good, but I just got fed up with what I was trying to accomplish. And so I didn't go back into it, but with Dark Shadows, I felt that I had to because I couldn't find what I was looking for anyway. So Mad Margaret, a lot of fans, tons of fans. She's even told me that she probably gets 1% of her audience responding, which scares me because for one of her stories, at least, there's 128 reviews. For another story, there's 129. It boggles my mind sometimes. And she is extremely into Willie Loomis, like extremely. I don't know how I'm going to edit that. So, and in a very different way than I am. I'm really not sure exactly. I know that she focuses on him a lot. I mistook her actually for Sarah Monster, who does the DS annotations, or not Sarah Monster, but Slave of a Vampire on YouTube. And I started reading one of hers and writing it because I wasn't hearing from Slave of a Vampire, and I thought it was her because there were links from the Willie Loomis Saves Collinsport website, and that's how we hit it off there. And that's the thing about writers there, especially Dark Shadows writers, is they get so few reviews that they'll get kind of excited when they get one and start talking. And if you're a writer, they start talking to you. And so she has done a series of stories based on Willie. They start at an earlier time period than the original program. Even going back to his birth, I started with Little Willie, but because it didn't gel for me as far as trying to maintain quote-unquote canon, it was starting to fragment my mind, but I tried to give some good reviews, and I still do for her work. And she does a lot, and she's extremely popular, and that was what surprised me when she said that she hadn't gotten into fanfiction.net until 2012, because she also had Dank Shadows, which is a musical that she wrote in college. Anyway, so her series, the Willie Loomis World Series, at least that's my take on it, Little Willie, Globetrotters, The Main Event, as in the state of Maine, Changes, This Old House, Interlude, and Haplessly Ever After, in that order. So it begins in 1956. She started as a one-shot. She was thinking of writing down some other things, keeping a strict timeline, and the year that she's in now is 1982, just short of Willie's 26th birthday. He met Barnabas in 1981 at 24. So that is the alternate universe that she's created for Willie Loomis, as far as that goes. So right now she's working on making it a 7-parter and wrapping up the series with Haplessly Ever After. But like I say, if you're starting from the beginning, go with Little Willie, because that starts you off at Willie Loomis's birth and his mother and his background. Her version, of course. And another reason that I admire her is her take on the 2012 movie was alternate universe, dark shadows, fan fiction on a very, very big budget. So not offended, which I admire highly. So there's Mad Margaret stuff. And again, wants reviews. In fact, when I got in touch with her on Facebook, I friended her kind of on accident. I took it as she was trying to friend me, but it was actually a suggestion. I'm happy that it happened because I'm glad to know her. She's a remarkable woman. She really is. And I went to Haplessly Ever After and I was a little bit lost because it was the end of the series. At least I presume that it is. Maybe there'll be an epilogue version, part 8, who knows. But on Facebook, she said something to the effect of, well, somebody go to my new fanfiction and read it, review it, say something nice. And then she said, actually, say something rude. I'm bored. And I said, I did. I just did. I sent a review, but I didn't say anything rude. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't. I didn't say much. Because it was more about being supportive, you know, that kind of thing. But I said I could sit here and review that post all day. Remarkable woman. Oh, who knows? She might piss me off in the future. Who knows? I don't know. But because we're just on such different wavelengths, you know, I come from constructive praise, education, and therapy. I mean, you're working with students, you're working with kids, you gotta learn how to boost their enthusiasm. And especially with me, I didn't know how to do that because it was not done with me. And I think, this is just my opinion, but I think she's coming from constructive criticism. So we're in such different headspaces, her and I. But I respect her highly, and I want to be as supportive as I can. So, Mad Margaret, go for it. Do it. And many of these stories are pro Barnabas Julia. And my point about plugging them is preference, if that's what you want. Now, I don't understand the Julia Barnabas thing. I know I got pretty uptight about the absolutism in the intro to episode 8. The reason that is that it irritates me. The reason that it irritates me is because I try to channel the characters. I see them suffering. I don't want them to suffer anymore. And I care about them. And I care about Julia. And if you can believe this or not, I care about Angelique. Now, my experience in this is that these Dark Shadows characters are my nursery. I said it before, I'll say it again. They're like my children, adopted or otherwise. And the bonus characters are kind of like the big kids. You know, they're watching out for the nursery. They're guarding the nest, as it were. So you got Morticia and Lily sort of as the high school girls, and you got Wadsworth as the college graduate. You got Captain Griggs sort of standing in the doorway, big PhD man on campus. And when it comes to who is crying the most, it's Angelique. I mean, she is suffering a lot. And you can see it through most of the series. She's not had enough attention given to her. Julia, similar but different. She's a very strong woman, and I do care about her a great deal. She got up my nose for a while. I kept wanting her to go back and take care of her fish, of course. But I see Julia so much differently, I think, than a lot of you fans, because I've been in psychology, and I'm looking at the character through that lens, as well as all the other characters. And I'm seeing a crush on Barnabas. I'm seeing what do you want me to do now? Oh, dear. And also with Julia, the reciprocation from Barnabas is not there. I know that Sam Hall wrote up an ending to the series, or, you know, whatever Dan Curtis said about what's happening at the end of the series probably might have been to appease fans or just to wrap up the thing for TV Guide or whatever the hell. It just never occurred to me to put them together as a pair. Never. It wasn't what either of them seemed to want when I was listening to them. And I'd apologize, except that it's so obvious to me. You know, you listen to the characters, you watch them, you find out what their motives are, and I didn't get that. But a lot of people seem to be like, well, Julia, I feel bad for her. She deserves... Well, what about Barnabas Collins' feelings? I mean, you guys all drool over this guy's fangs. You know? Oh, his spiky bangs, so sexy. I'm like, well, I could believe Angelique a little bit more. Not really. I mean, I tell you, he was a nobleman in 1795. He was pushing her away because he was freaked out at his own lust. I would hope that a lot of you all have gone through the same thing, where you don't understand why you want another individual human being, because they're not what your heart wants. They're just what some other part of you that you're not proud of wants. And to me, that's Barnabas and Angelique. So with Barnabas Collins, I'm not seeing a want for Julia. I'm not seeing a love for Angelique. A lot of fans have told me I didn't buy the 70s era where all of a sudden he did love her after all these horrible things that she had done. So I was very pleased to find that out. So with Barnabas Collins, it's a little scary because I'm not in love with him, but I do love him. And I do empathize with him. I feel very strongly that I've gone through some of the things that he's gone through. As like with all the characters, I want to put them in a safer zone. That doesn't mean that this is going to get funner. That means it's going to get worse. It's going to get scarier. There's a lot of problems that they've had to go through in my interruption series here. And that's what I'm trying to find their way to work out. It's not for me. It's not me writing for me. I care about them a lot. And I want to find a way to reach them to a zone where Collinwood is still spooky, still has ghosts, but is very beautiful and is safer, is better. They've calmed down. They've understood what their internal struggles are. That's what I'm trying to achieve here. So if you want Julia Barnabas stories, there are a ton. But I couldn't find Barnabas Maggie stories, Barnabas Kitty Soames stories. I couldn't find Barnabas Josette stories. I found maybe one Barnabas Maggie and one Barnabas Josette, but that one is also adult, so, and it's not finished. So on with the plugs. Then there is the Collins Mausoleum. Actually, a guy named Joe, been around a long time with this stuff, and he wrote a novelization of Night of Dark Shadows. But this is the director's cut that would have happened if it wasn't for Jim Aubrey bossing Dan Curtis around to cut Night of Dark Shadows. Joe took what he could find of all the pieces, and I admit I haven't gotten to it, but I was so irritated when I heard about the cutting of that movie. As you know, I prefer creative expression from the artist's view. And so I'm hoping to read Joe's version before sitting down to watch the film. Now, that leads us to another sign, of which we'll have a few here. I was getting so wiped out by this project and not sleeping that I was afraid I wasn't going to get home before passing out on the street from work. So I finally found a friend who had a moment. She doesn't usually, and she was able to pick me up from work and take me home. Then she said, "Oh, I got something at a garage sale." And what do you know? Night of Dark Shadows on VHS. I made what exhausted effort I could not to roll my eyes. Anyone want to tell me there aren't spirits behind this thing? Even stranger was I'd focused this episode more on David and Sarah's relationship. Well, when I went about that, I had these two little kids as patients come into my work. Working with kids, tough business, especially when they have certain needs to attend to. These two were actually incredibly well-behaved compared to some of the anxiety-wrenching I'd had to undergo in my line of work. It was something else to get these two kids. They were a boy and a girl. The boy looked a lot like David Collins. Fair complexion, brown hair, but he also had a great sense of humor. You know how grown-ups time things for kids rather on the sly? So he talked about, Halloween's gonna suck. And it was because he was having spacers put in at the dentist just a few days before Halloween. It's like, great, yep, that wasn't well planned out, was it? And I have shown his photograph to a couple friends, one of whom knows Dark Shadows, and she did not shrug it off. The little girl I got, also well-natured, had a certain speech impediment that made her sound very different. And it was kind of like a British accent in there, similar to Sarah Collins. So she didn't look like Sarah, but with not saying a whole lot and that distinct voice, she really reminded me of Sarah a great deal. And considering where this episode leads, it's a shake. There you have even more signs that something is going on with this thing. I also need to add that what with the money I've shelled out for it and having up to episode 15 written while 16 and 17 are mapped out, I may have to eventually rely on postal mail to get it to people. There's only so much audio space where I'm hosting this, and downloads, listeners, numbers. It's really not going to cut it for me. I've already worked myself into realms of the stir crazy and spilt. My husband doesn't know what to do with me on those levels. So if any of you have witnessed my drunken ravings in text, you likely need to know that that is nothing to what my husband has to go through. Nothing. And that comes from basic human needs that aren't being met, and it's not like I haven't put in a ton of effort to change that. It seems like the easier communication is made with these devices, the less people use it to really communicate. The likes are nice, but I don't know how one of the sites manufacture them. Is it seen on Facebook and liked, or do my listeners go to the site and thumb it up? I don't know. Like I said, the numbers are not necessarily telling the truth in this matter. As for this upcoming episode, I am going to have to brush up on a good Mr. Wells impression. I was touched when I went over Conrad Bain's performance of Mr. Wells. He really made him something else. There was an old-timey method in how he went about it, so I need to go over it and make out what he was shooting for. Of course, you'll see a rather impatient Mr. Wells here. You can imagine the stark annoyance he'd have with all of the demonic noises coming from Nicholas Blair's in-suite. There's also some mocking for our hosts toward this minion of Diablos, which is fun. And then there's David and Mrs. Johnson discussing important elements to life in the kitchen. And when she says hot cross buns are not easy to bake, it is true. We tried to bake some, and we basically created rocks, is what happened. So I'd love to find some already baked. That would be nice. Interesting that Easter is coming up soon. The timing would be right for this, because that particular food became intended for Good Friday. Again, more research into the olden times. Also, the Better Homes and Gardens representative shows up in this episode. Now, this scene is something I've managed to tell and read to people who don't know Dark Shadows at all, and everyone has just adored it. Even out of context, it's just hilarious. And the thing about the time period is, zip codes were just coming into practice with the U.S. Postal Service. And I told my chap about the scene, but when I finally got to doing a performance for the recordings, I got to that point and turned to him and said, I've been holding on to that all week. I just wanted a new funny he hadn't heard when we got there on the old recordings, and really had to hold it in. Then there is a fun scene between Mr. Wells, Bob from the Blue Whale, and eventually Mildred Mayhem. Just getting a good take on the other townspeople and how they view the delights of living in such a bizarre place. More fun to come when Tony and Carolyn reach Schooner Bay, which can remind us of what was going on with the ghost and Mrs. Muir around the same time period. And then there's Wadsworth, who is kept rather busy at the old house as Maggie and Barnabas are sorting through the confusion of what they found in Shosett's room. And he's not there when there is a certain pair of company coming to the door, to which the two of them are deeply stunned. And Barnabas has some stunning revelations that tweak with his emotions a great deal. And of course, a certain cousin from the other coast arrives at the end, to which Roger and Elizabeth have their very different reactions. Also, the song at the end is by Vedera, V-E-D-E-R-A, from their album Stages. It's sort of a Sundays meets Cranberries style of music, and I finally bought the album, which is wonderful. I do recommend that if you're interested in that kind of music. I was looking for songs about ghosts, and I'd passed up this song at first, but then I went back and thought, this is a good song for Sarah. So I bought it, and then I listened to it, and I listened to it again, and again, and again. I'd actually been having a hard time enjoying music from about 8 years of a very deep depression called anhedonia, which can make one behave somewhat normally, but inside it's just all numb. Really, it's just like, it's almost like colors. Like, you can see them, but like they're gray in your heart. They're just not, nothing is touching you at all. And this song rather woke me up. I hadn't had a song I listened to that much that still gave me that old drive, and I was thankful there. But considering it's meant for Sarah, how ironic is it that I was playing it repeatedly? Yeah. Well, at least it isn't London Bridges. Take care, and get in touch with me if you can.